You give good gifts to those who ask you. And Pastor Jeff is asking for good words to share with us. Lord, I bless him to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And I bless him to be bold with the righteousness of Christ, to speak the words of wisdom that you have given him confidently and with full faith. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We are we're continuing our series that we're calling Faith Live. Not Faith Live, Faith Live. That our faith is active. That when you have a relationship with God, is active in and through you. It's not dormant. It's not something that just happens on a Sunday or when we sit and talk about God. It is an everyday thing. And so we've been looking at the book of James, and we're in James chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 19 to 27 this morning, the end of the chapter. We did the beginning half of the chapter last week, and so we're doing the end of the chapter this week. If you didn't bring a Bible, it's on page 1172 in the Bible in front of you, or you, if you have a Bible on your phone, you can pull that out. So while you're doing that, I want to tell you a story. So how many of you have ever hurt yourself in some kind of capacity? All right, half of you are honest, the rest of you are liars. We'll deal with that on another Sunday. So this happened to me this week. I was making bacon, and I used to cook bacon on a skillet because I liked how that worked, but I was doing a bunch of different things, and I just wanted to stick it in the oven and forget about it. And so in our house, if you make the food, the other person cleans up. So I made the food, but Annette hates to clean up like grease and that kind of stuff. So I thought I'd be a good husband and do the husbandly thing and get rid of the grease for her so she didn't have to deal with it. So I was pouring the grease in a jar, but my mistake was I did it right after it came out of the oven, which was not smart. So 400-degree bacon grease spilled over the baking sheet onto my thumb and just wrapped around my thumb. And immediately, I went, whoa! And I don't know if this has ever happened to you before, but there's some words that we generally do not use that are not necessarily edifying to those that hear us. And so everything in my power not to use one of those words. This time, I'm not saying that Pastor Jeff is perfect. Catch me tomorrow, and it might not be the same case, just being on full disclosure. But out of my mouth comes, "Woo, marvelous light!" And I immediately ran over to the sink, turned on the cold water, and I just ran it under cold water, and then I grabbed some ice, and I iced it for like the rest of the night, and then I started putting aloe vera on it and vitamin E, like, immediately. And then the next day, it was really still red, and so I posted on Facebook, because everybody in the world knows how to treat this kind of stuff. So I got a bunch of smart alecks that were like, wrap it in bacon. Or don't do anything and just smell it, because bacon is the greatest. And then I got all kinds of different remedies, and I actually ran into somebody who had posted on my site who gave me some essential oils and a bunch of other things to put on it. And actually, I mean, it looks kind of gross right now, but it feels really good. But so there are times when we do, you know, and that kind of thing happens, and from our cells, stuff comes out, right? And there's times in our life when the people that we come in contact with are like bacon grease. And the words that come out of their mouth hurt just as bad, but in a different way. And everything inside of us wants to say, "Oh, marvelous light." And James says, you know what? Listen, you know, there is a better way. There's a better way that leads to things better. And he talks about it in James chapter 1, starting at verse 13 this morning. So would you join me? Just listen as I read. In verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself righteous and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So we're going to look at this in three different sections this morning. It's a small little section, but I really believe there's kind of three things that we can learn from it this morning. The first is this: listening. Well, this is, I understand, as soon as some of us read that first verse, there was some tension that set in. Slow to speak, slow to become angry, quick to listen. That's hard. So we're going to acknowledge that. The second is how we respond or don't. And then I really believe the third in this last section is continuing to respond or making this a life pattern. It's not a one-time deal. And so I want to look at this first little section here in verses 19 to 21. The first of which is quick to listen. And we can talk semantics a lot because oftentimes we say that there's listening and there's hearing. Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? You know, do you hear that verbally, or is it taking root and you're comprehending it and it's affecting you in some way, shape, or form? And really the context here is understanding what is being said. Not just hearing it, but pondering it. Rolling it over in your brain and your mind until it kind of takes some ownership inside of you, considering what is being said. This is hard sometimes when people are talking to us. We'll get to that. Slow to speak. To share one's thoughts or opinions is the context here. It's very difficult. Have you ever had, I don't know, maybe you're not like me. I know there are people like this, and I consider myself one of them. When somebody is speaking and all of a sudden your brain catches one thing that you're saying, you start processing how you're going to respond to them, and then you miss the next minute and a half of what they said. And all of a sudden you go to respond, except you're responding to that middle part, and the person says, "You didn't hear me." Because we're sometimes so quick to respond. That one thing that triggers that one thing inside of us, that causes that one thing inside of us to explode so that we miss the whole package. I'm not saying that's you. I'm not pointing fingers this morning because there's three more pointing back at me. And then there's times when somebody is speaking to us and all of a sudden you realize you're thinking about 19 other things and you've just missed everything that's being said. And all of a sudden you realize the person has stopped and now they are looking for a response from you and you're just sitting there with a look on your face that says, duh. To stop, to hear what's being said, to let it roll around, to not jump quickly to respond to what's being said, but kind of let it meditate for a second. And then lastly, that we don't respond in anger, which is very, very difficult. There was some things said this week that stirred a lot of people up about how we treat one another. And immediately, social media exploded. Because when we hear those things that trigger that something inside of us, oftentimes our immediate response is anger. And really, I love that, I read this guy a lot, and really sorry, I quote him often. Gazook says, our wrath or our anger almost always is simply defending our own agenda. Oftentimes when we get angry, our response back to the hearer defends our agenda or our opinion. And we fail to put ourselves in the other person's shoes. And he says, he goes on to say, get rid of all moral filth, all right, and evil. And really the connotation here is the anger that he has just talked about, get rid of that. And then last week we had talked about this, the temptation that so easily invades us. And I apologize to those who are here. And my wife told me afterwards, I left the cake, the picture of the cake up there for like 2.5 minutes. And some of you were really struggling. I apologize. I was telling you about temptation and I led you there. So I just left you hanging there. All those pieces, right? The things that tempt us, that bring us into a place that is unhealthy for us and maybe the person that we're interacting with, and that anger, all that together, we need to remove that from who we are so that we can be who God wants us to be. And these two things will save you. Humility, or having a teachable heart, and in that humility, God's word, both now and later, will save you. Because God's word tells us what God says, and what God says helps us and the people around us. I worked with teenagers for about 15 years as a youth pastor. And one of the things I learned is that teenagers oftentimes can be really hurtful to one another. I'm not saying any teenager in this room, just other teenagers that don't come here. Well, you can be really hurtful. And one of the things that, I don't know if you realize this, but one of the things that happens in the life of a teenager is they double the amount of neurons. There's a biological thing that takes place where they double the amount of neurons in their brain over adolescence. Piaget calls it formal operations, moving from cognitive operations into formal operations, or moving from that's a chair to I wonder who made that chair. I wonder why they made the chair that way. Well, they're an idiot. Why didn't they do that? That all starts to happen when they're a teenager, and their mind is exploding with all different kinds of thoughts and opinions. All of a sudden, opinions become really, really strong, and oftentimes they don't know how to use it, and so it comes out oftentimes in hurtful words. Some of you are nodding because you work with teenagers, or some of you teenagers are like, right? So I stole this from a friend of mine. We would do this like once or twice a year. We'd take a candle, and we called it the encouragement candle. I know it's for some of you, you're like, all right, that's corny, Pastor Jeff. Walk with me. Something really neat would happen. The eyes of their soul would be turned on. And what I mean by that was their eyes would widen and they would realize that something important was taking place, that they were being encouraged. And it felt good. And when you encourage somebody and it feels good, part of you wants to encourage them back. But I wouldn't allow them to encourage the person who gave them the candle. Then they had to encourage somebody else in the room. And oftentimes when we did this, we would have to stop after, because it was the end of the time or whatever, and they would, no, we want to keep going. And everybody in the room was encouraged probably 5 or 6 times. And you know what didn't happen during that time? Nobody heard somebody hurtful. Nobody heard something derogatory. Nobody heard something that tore them down. They heard something that was good. And so there was no anger present, there was just joy. So when we stop for a second, we listen to one another, we don't allow ourselves to go to anger, we accomplish one of the greatest things that God wants us to. We respond like Him. We respond like Him. Then He goes on to say, okay, you've stopped, possibly, being angry You've stopped responding right away, and you've quick to listen. Now there's an action step that needs to take place. So we can't only be hearers. We need to do what we hear. So when we hear the things that cause us to need to react in a good and healthy way, we have to respond. Now, I want to be careful here because we talk about this often, but a relationship with Christ is not a list of do's and don'ts. We really believe through the Word of God that it's a lifestyle. So the doing here really can be translated maker, producer, author, and I really like this one, poet. That it should stir up inside of you a reaction that causes you to produce something good because God is taking control of you. And during this time, the time that this was written, there was a lot of listeners. There's a lot of people that would say really good things, and people would gather around them, and they'd listen to what their itching ears wanted to hear, but they didn't always respond with the good stuff that the teacher was saying. Those who responded were called disciples because they responded to what the person was teaching. And then the people who saw them respond said, oh, you are a disciple of so-and-so. So that when Jesus spoke and his disciples followed him, the people looked at the disciples and said, oh, you're a follower of Jesus. So we can't just be hearers. It does us no good. It does you no good if you come here on a Sunday morning and listen to what I have to say, but then it doesn't affect you or change you. It's just, wow, it's really good. That's great, Pastor Jeff. Awesome. You told a funny story, maybe? Maybe laugh, giggle, cry? Maybe want some more? If that is just what comes out of my mouth and it doesn't affect who we are, may it never be. And understand that I'm pointing at myself. The person who does that is the one who looks at his face in the mirror and forgets what he looks like. I was going to have a full-length mirror up here, and I thought the better of it this morning. But most of us have these handy little things called smartphones. And creating, and we do it here too, selfies. We are creating a generation that loves to look at themselves. Right? And you can just turn your phone around and I can sit here and I can go. And I can walk away and completely forget about it, but now we can post it on social media and see it forever. But can you imagine? Wow, that's a terrible picture. Sorry about that. Can you imagine that process, though? And maybe for some of you, it's hard, and maybe for some of you, it's easy to look at yourselves and then walk away and want to forget what you look like. Or maybe for some of us, it's easy to look at ourselves, to walk away, and immediately get back into that first couple verses where we get angry for something that somebody does, and we know there are 19 things going on in our soul that are just as bad or worse. May it never be. And really, the connotation here looks and implies careful scrutiny, careful examination. So we carefully examine who we are. We see the stuff that we know we need to get rid of, but then we turn and we walk away and we don't address it at all. And we continue to go about our lives with that ick or whatever it is just hanging on to us. And that's what it's like to just walk away after looking at yourself in the mirror and forgetting. Some of these people are experts even, with lots of knowledge. They're examining the text, they're examining the Word of God, and they're seeing these things, and love your neighbor as yourself, love God. And then they go out and they rip their neighbor apart, or they talk derogatory about their neighbor, or they treat the person next to them with unkindness. May it never be. That's what it's like to look at yourself in the mirror and then walk away and forget. The healthy person, however, is the person who not only wants to know the knowledge and the facts, but also applies it. We can't just hear and then not allow it to affect us at all. And I love that he used the mirror here because I don't know if you realize this, if you've heard it said here on a Sunday morning or ever before, but you were created in the image of God. And so that when you're looking into the mirror, you're seeing what God has created. And in your image, you can be image bearers so that when you leave having looked at yourself in the mirror, God wants those people that we come in contact with to see us as image bearers. And that happens because we respond like him. This is the perfect law that gives freedom, and that's Jesus. When we respond like him, the people around us get to see what God wants. So not forgetting, doing it, and then you'll be blessed. We have had in this country over the last several years lots of conversations about how we treat one another, how we respond to one another. And I grew up as a European, what I call European mutt. I just got my DNA test this year. I'm from all over Europe. And so I grew up in a context and a lens at which I could see. And when I look at things through my lens, I see my stuff. And a couple years ago, after several of the shootings that were taking place in America, we had a conversation as pastors in the district of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And we had a bunch of our friends who were from all over the world that serve in this district. People from Africa, people from China, people from South America, and then those who generations past were from those places and now reside here. And so people from all different ethnic groups sharing their experience of growing up in America. And then not only sharing that, but sharing growing up in the church. And I listened to a pastor friend of mine that I had known for years, tell me stories of hearing other pastors share jokes that they thought were hysterical and funny that were derogatory to my friend who's an African American. With sometimes, as crazy as this sounds in my mind, using the N-word in that conversation, and then turning to my friend and saying, "Oh, but I'm not talking about you." And I remember sitting, listening to that, and then it was a discussion we had as a district, and it lasted about 45 minutes, and we were able to have some conversation. And I got off that conference video call, and I just sat in my office, and I cried. And then I called up my friend, and I said, "That wasn't long enough. I need to sit, and I need to listen to you, because my experience of growing up in America was way different than your experience of growing up in America. And if I'm going to be able to love my neighbor as myself, I gotta start with my friend who grew up in a very different America through a very different lens than I did." And I listened to him for about 2 hours, just sharing story after story after story of what it was like to be him. And now together, now when we get together, we encourage one another and we build each other up. But you know what happened after that? Some life transformation. I can no longer view the world through my lens only. I can't. If I did, it was a one-time only shot. So my question this morning for you for this one is, what is that one thing right now that you know God is calling you to? Is that one thing right now that God is calling you into? Maybe he's saying, this is, you know what? There's something that you need to respond to. It's very, you're very aware of it. You're very aware of it, and you know you need to respond. But you really just don't want to. Or there's some fear involved, or some trepidation involved. What's that one thing that God is really calling you into this morning to respond into? And then he finishes it out. The religious, right, don't just hold your tongue and deceive yourself, because that leads to a worthless religion. Right? When we don't hold our tongue, when we don't process through this, what we believe gets mistranslated to the world. This has happened a lot throughout this year, where somebody says they are a follower of Christ, but then their actions don't necessarily say, I love God and I love others. Their actions are very contrary to that. And that makes your belief system look false, is what James is saying. What we say is always compared to what we do. When I was growing up, the phrase walk the talk was big. Or stop being just a talker. Right? Maybe you experienced that one kid or that one person in school growing up that was just constantly and you were like, stop, let me see it. It cannot just be verbiage. There's got to be action to it. Otherwise, it's just words coming out of somebody's mouth. And all of it must align with good, not bad. So religion here equals an external worship of God, ceremonies and practices. That's what he's talking about. The good religion is when people are able to see by your actions, not just your voice, what you believe, what you understand, who you serve. They see that you are a disciple or a follower of God. And the example that he gives here should be a simple one, to look after widows and orphans. And during this time, widows and orphans were oftentimes in the Greek culture just forgotten or discarded. Not in Hebrew culture, not in Jewish culture, but definitely in Greek culture. If you were a widow or orphan, you were the bottom of the barrel. Nobody cared about you. You had to fight, scrap, whatever, for what you needed. And so he said, if we're going to call ourselves followers of Jesus, then we have to start with those who immediately aren't getting what they need. We have to have our eyes open and see those who are in need, and we need to supply that need, because we can't say we love God and not respond with love for the people that are in need. We can't do it. We have to and we must respond. And so he gives that example. It's not limited to widows and orphans. Please hear that. If we open our eyes for 1 second in this community or in this country, we'll see, we'll understand, we'll know those who are in need. And when we respond like we should with the love of Christ, then those people get to see Jesus. And oftentimes, sadly, the world, those who don't call themselves followers of Jesus, do this way better sometimes than those that do. And that cannot be if we're going to have alive faith. So we must keep ourselves from being polluted by what he calls the world here, which goes back to what we talked about before of the anger and the temptation and all those things that draw us into self. We can't stay in that place. We have to move. And when we do, we look unstained, spotless, or sullied. Not taken hold of by those things. The world gets to see something completely different. So I said I had that conversation with my friend. And I could have just left it there. I had a really good conversation with him. And I apologized for my actions, that whether I realized that I was acting the way I was or not. And we had a good moment, or I could allow that moment to change because Jesus really wants to change me so that I love my neighbor. So that I can't any longer hear stories like my friends and not be caused to action. I can't do it. So when I hear them again, I really want to have a conversation with that person. And I really have to sit down with verse 19 again and be slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because now I have a friend who has experienced that. And so now my friend has experienced that. And so when I hear somebody else say something derogatory about somebody like my friend, I get angry. There's nothing wrong with the anger until we act. But if I allow it to continue, then I haven't allowed what God is asking me to be applied to my life. I can't just hear it anymore and not respond. I have to, I must. And so really from this passage of Scripture, I see kind of three responses that we can take. The first of which is, I will meditate on James 1, 19. And by meditate, I mean this. Maybe you need to print off James 1, 19. Or maybe you need to pull it up on your phone or put it somewhere on a regular basis so you can see it, read it over again, and allow it to take root in your brain. This is a couple weeks ago I told you about how I printed off a verse and I stuck it in my car because when I get in my car, I become a different person, a person I don't like. And so I would want to see that verse so I would respond that way. This is what I'm talking about. Maybe you need to print this one off, and you just need to own this verse for a while. I'll be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And the next time somebody does something that really drives you up the wall, that verse will pop in your head. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And as you meditate on that verse, it takes root. And next thing you know, you're responding with quick ears, less talking and less anger. Maybe that one's yours this morning. Or maybe it's that one thing that I need to respond to that God is saying to me about whatever it is. And he needs to start with one action. You need one action to start with. It's difficult at this point to just dive right in and make it a life process because there's this one that I need to step into first. And then maybe for the rest of us, we've done those periodic one actions. God has asked us to respond, right? To this, all right, I need to respond here or I need to respond there. And there's a bunch of one-offs in our life. But it hasn't become a life pattern so that we look religious, but our relationship with Christ really isn't always seen. And this is more cultivating a life pattern of responding to God. I want to cultivate that kind of life pattern so more often than not, people get to see Jesus and not me. And then as that takes root and takes shape, I begin to look more like Jesus so that when people see and interact with me, they hear the love of Creator God. Maybe that one's yours this morning. So I just want to take just a minute or two, think about one of those. And we're going to come back to these. James repeats these things because apparently we don't always get it the first time, which is really, really good. So the worship team's going to come up. But just in the next couple of minutes, just look this over. And maybe you're not sure. Maybe you need to pull out your phone and take a picture of that and take it home and have a conversation with God and say, you know, which one do I need? Which one, Lord, are you bringing to mind? So I just want to take some time and listen, and I'll pray for us, and then we'll respond. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we look at those three things that you would speak very clearly to us about what you're calling us to this morning. Lord, may these not just be things that we do, but may they take root and change and transform really who we are. As we continue in faith alive. In Christ, I pray. Amen.